When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Scott Van Pelt did throughout the first pitch of the Orioles-Royals game of the wild card round. So I don't know if that means like that's the level of fame we should expect. SVP, huge, huge member of ESPN for, what, 30 years now? But maybe not as famous as Logan Paul, right? Maybe not as – I don't know. I'm just saying, like, I don't know if that's the level we should go for. I think LeBron is shooting for the moon.
So who's on that level of, like, SVP here in Cleveland?
Fair amount of people. Because he's, like, famous, but he's not, like, everybody knows him famous. He's famous if you're a sports nerd like me.
I feel like Drew Carey's done the SVP.
The Price is Right host? That sounded like a shot. It's not.
Is he Price is Right now, too?
You didn't know?
I mean, I knew What's-His-Face left. I didn't know that he took over.
Did he just call Bob Barker What's-His-Face?
Oh, no. I'm sorry. Yes, I knew he's been the host of Price is Right.
I'm giving you the De Niro now. No. You talking to me? Sorry. My face is better. My face. De Niro impression in my face is better than my voice impression.
When you said Price is Right, my mind went to Wheel of Fortune because I knew Paul Sajak just retired, like, what, earlier this year or whatever?
Did you just say Paul Sajak?
Sorry.
I think that isn't that Alec Trebek guy? That Alan Trebek, yeah, that guy. Isn't he still around?
I knew that Pat Sajak retired earlier this year, and I thought for some reason my mind went there, and I was
big
like,
big fan of Vanna Weiss. This show is all the way off the rails, and we've been in this segment for 1 minute.
You keep plugging away, little buckaroo.
We're going to take your submissions here. We do have some pretty sizable NFL news here. As you heard it in Hody's delectable update there, the Raiders apparently now figure that Devontae Adams would like to not be in Vegas anymore. I don't know. I mean, I'm assuming he wants to get dealt to the Jets because of Aaron Rodgers.
Probably.
I feel like Aaron Rodgers just activated Devontae Adams like a super soldier and was just like, go, be disruptive, get traded here. I would not hate, and listen, the conversation we're going to have that is far too early to have it, but we got to have it because of the way he's playing and the way the Browns are playing, is the Amari Cooper thing, which a lot of people have brought up this week. I'm not ready to say I'll trade Amari Cooper. I might be ready to say I'd trade Amari Cooper for Devontae Adams.
Well, yeah, it's funny that we talked about bringing this up today, and then at the moment we're about to bring it up, this news comes down. Yeah, I mean, if you're doing like a one-for-one swap and there's some picks involved, like...
That's not how one-for-one swaps work.
Okay, that's true. But if you're I just meant like if you're doing like a position for position, like we'll give you our wide receiver, we'll get your wide receiver back, and there's picks involved to sort of get the deal to the finish line, I would be on board with Devontae Adams for sure. But I do think like this conversation for me sort of birthed from this idea that like if the Browns continue to struggle... We already know that they were shopping Amari Cooper anyway, based off the Brandon Ayuk conversations they were having with the 49ers. And I can only imagine, like, if we think that Amari Cooper's checked out now, imagine what this thing looks like with, like, two or three more losses added on to it. And so I understand, like, people are going to call in and be like, well, what are you going to get for Amari Cooper at the trade deadline if he continues just dropping passes and, you're selling low, basically. And that's 100% true, which is probably why the Browns tried to, because clearly they didn't necessarily think it was worth investing in Amari Cooper longer term than what they already are. Clearly they sort of saw some sort of writing on the wall in terms of where he was going to go from here. Yeah, like on some level you would be selling low, but if you're just thinking about like, well, let's get picks back or let's get something that we can use next year to maybe move up in the draft or just draft capital in general, I could see why it would be something that maybe comes to mind if this thing continues to go south. Now, you throw this wrinkle into it and like, yeah, I would be on board with something like that. I mean, for the Raiders, does it make sense? Probably to an extent because you get a good receiver back for the rest of the season. But at the same time, you don't have any commitment to him beyond this year. So then that kind of frees you up from a contract that you don't have to necessarily worry about.
So there's a lot there. It's a little tongue-in-cheek, the suggestion. What yes. I will say is I think Davante Adams is a more prolific and explosive receiver than Amari is. The thing that would scare me is Davante seems to be a first-class pain in the booty. Like this
it didn't
is,
seem that way when he was in Green Bay, but now that he's gotten out of there, every year we've heard he doesn't want to be here.
And he's gone out of his way like two straight years to be like, no, that's not the case, even though the reports are. So at some point, like, you can only deny so much if, hey, I'm not a serial killer. Well, there's a knife in your hand, there's blood on it, and a dead body next to you. At some point, you are a pain in the ass. So that would probably be my biggest thing here. The Amari thing, here's the problem. It is week four. Like, 3 of the 4 weeks with Amari have been woefully bad. And it is not simply, oh, well, he's a reps guy. No, we're into October now. Yeah, he's a reps guy, lasts until about week three, depending on how much I like you. Once we get into October, I have no more patience for this. So even if this is all cumulative, that Amari took the eye off the ball because he was pissed about the trade, the Ayuk stuff, or he was mad he didn't get a contract extension, I don't care. Because right now, you're one of the highest paid guys on this team, and I need you to be a source of change. But to say that week four is when, I got to be honest with you, it's people sniffing at the carcass of the Browns. It is totally a valid conversation because they don't owe him a lot of money. They don't. The way they designed this is they converted most of his salary this year into a signing bonus, which allows, I think at the deadline, his dead cap's like $600,000.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's not going to preclude you. It might actually make him more attractive because he doesn't cost a damn thing.
Right.
The same point, I hate when it feels like people are either rooting for the Browns to fail or sniffing around that carcass because they have a lot of pieces that they would like to see on other teams that don't have Deshaun Watson on it.
You're saying from like the outside perspective of people saying like, would they trade for it? Is that what you're saying?
Because it started this
way. Because I'm not bringing this up as like, let's keep rooting so that they trade Amari Cooper. Like, I want them to get the train on the tracks and I want Amari to have success here. I mean, what's one of the wildest things about the Amari Cooper experience this year is the fact that, I mean, during the Brandon Ayuk trade rumors, we would come on the air every day and talk about like, well, if you had to choose between the two, like where are you going with this? And I 100% understood why they were pursuing a younger version of Amari, like a guy who's a really good route runner and is a playmaker that maybe hasn't tapped into his full potential in San Francisco because he's got so many other pieces around him and you want to bring him in here. And if you're trying to give a contract extension out to somebody, you'd rather give it to the guy who's 25 rather than the guy who just turned 30. So I understood all the reasons for it, but I always went back to the idea of like, yeah, but like for this year, I really like Amari because he's bought in, he gets the culture, he's been here, he's a good leader. And I feel like in 4 weeks' time, all the goodwill that Amari built up over 2 years where people were like vouching for him during that conference. Like if the Brandon Ayuk stuff started right now and it was like, oh yeah, the Browns apparently are sniffing around trying to trade for Brandon Ayuk. I guarantee you a lot of those Browns fans who are in his corner saying, no, I like the fit of Amari on this team. I don't want to mess with a good thing. I guarantee you most of those people are back on the other side now and they're like, give me Brandon Ayuk. I would take Brandon Ayuk.
I think what's interesting is whether you think this conversation and when it becomes germane. I think it's too early. Do you agree, by the way? Just real quick.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Quick.
I don't think it's too early.
Why not? They're 1-3 and they've got 13 games left.
But I think that because this team was already exploring their options in terms of like shopping Amari Cooper, and now you can make the case that he's being he's a hindrance to your team.
That's going to help his trade value, by the way.
Well, I already conceded that you're selling low at this point. And by the trade deadline, you could be selling even lower if this continues. Like, I'm not saying you're going to get a lot for him. But
so then what's the point? Why not just let him play out his contract?
because then he just walks in free agency. At least if you can get like a fourth round pick for Amari Cooper, you get a fourth round pick for Amari Cooper.
That's gonna help you in the second half of the season, that fourth round pick.
But if I'm thinking from this perspective of like, if this thing continues to go south, then right now I think you could still get something of value for him, because there's always going to be a team out there that thinks like, oh, if he comes here, it's a better situation. He's going to be bought in with us because he's not bought in with this 1-3 team that was, you know, saying they basically didn't care about paying him and showed they didn't really value him in the offseason. There's always going to be a team that does that. So I think there's still like some value right now. I'm saying like by the trade deadline, yeah, it could be worse. But in the second half of the season, if they continue losing games, does it matter if Amari Cooper's here or not?
I think it matters more about how the team does than Amari doesn't. Amari's got a contract. And unless somebody bowls you over at the deadline and you are still a one-win team, yeah, I think Amari's going to be here. I don't think you get better by subtracting players, even if one of those players is woefully disappointing and should be leading your way out.
Well, obviously you don't get better by trading a guy of Amari Cooper's caliber in theory, because he's supposed to be one of your better players. But at that point in the season, like what...
If you're not saving money...
Does it matter if you're trying to get better if the goal is, okay, well, now we have to think about like what... Because if it goes south... Well, we knew that this was the window. This was a year you were supposed to be like a title contender, right? But and we all said like, we just want to enjoy the moment. We just want to spend our time enjoying this season, because we don't want to look ahead to the fact that like, well, there's a lot of guys whose contracts are up this year. Nick Chubb, Amari Cooper, offensive line gets another year older. Like, they're going to have some tough decisions to make. So we just want to live in the moment. But the more games they lose, the more we got to start looking ahead and being like, what does this offseason look like? The more they have to start looking to the offseason and being like, well, okay, how are we going to set ourselves up to replenish this offensive line that we thought was good and clearly is having issues? Jet Wills might not be back. Are you going to get a new left tackle?
Maybe Andrew Berry could take another fourth-round pick flyer and a wide receiver.
Maybe.
Those have worked out so well.
I mean, bites at the apple. Who knows?
So here's my thing. If it's not – if what you get – so you're not saving money because you've already paid him his money. So the crux of his value is that he's very cheap and that he previously has been this high-level player, right?
Yeah.
But – this is all about how bad are you and what's the value. So a fourth-round pick doesn't do it for me, because...
I mean, I just threw that out there as an idea. I always have a hard time... I mean, I don't have... Who is it that has, like, the sheet of, like, what each pick is worth in relation to whatever, like, that arbitrary list that they say teams use to sort of do the
Jimmy
math
Johnson
on those things.
Yeah, trade
the Jimmy
chart.
Johnson
yeah.
trade chart. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, no, but like, I think my point is, so this is where it's the two things here, the axis that this is rolling across is, on one hand, it's how good or bad are you, and the other is what is the value. And there is a sweet spot if you're let's see, 4 weeks from now, if you're a two-win team and somebody offers you a third-round pick, maybe it makes sense. But today at 1-3, I think we're starting to do this thing of looking for the fall guy in season. You've got a roster. Like, what are we doing here? So, like, and I think it's way too early. But to me, it is, when it becomes a conversation is Amari actually playing well enough where somebody's going to give you something of value, and are the Browns still just not working their way out there? Also, a little bit of breaking news here, which is good because it's been about 5 minutes since we had breaking news. Browns rookie defensive tackle Mike Hall Jr., the out of Ohio State, suspended 5 games without pay for a violation of the personal conduct policy. So he has been on the commissioner's exempt list to start the season because of the domestic violence charges filed in the preseason. So we now know, in addition to the time served, which of course the commissioner's list is a paid leave, Mike Hall, now a 5-game suspension from the league for those violations. So we got that going for us. I mean, I do think it's nice to get clarity, because I do think whenever should Mike ever get on the field, I think he might be one of the answers to some of the problems they're having getting sack production beyond Myles Garrett. Got to get on the field first.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of that big question mark of how long was it going to take for the NFL to sort of make a decision on this, because, you know, like Rashid Rice was still playing games while his situation had kind of played itself out, and it was like, oh, okay, this guy's playing. Yeah, I mean, anytime you can, I think it's fine given how they've played against the run to this point. The more depth you can add on the defensive front, more guys you can rotate in, the better, because I have a lot of questions about a lot of those guys right now. But it sounds like obviously now we got to wait five games to find out what Mike Hall is going to bring to the table, which is disappointing because he did have a good camp. He had a good offseason. There was a lot of hype for him as kind of the top pick of the class this past year. But we're not going to get to see him until about like week 10.
In this instance, we'll research this in the break. I don't recall off the top of my head whether players can appeal this. So that's something we'll look at here. The other thing is that means, again, assuming that this Sunday against Washington is game one, that means you'd see him at the earliest at November 17th, meaning he'd probably rejoin the team coming off the bye, and the earliest he would play is November 17th, meaning the most amount we'd see from him is, let's see, carry the two. That means eight games this season. So we do have a definitive answer on Mike Hall Jr., but 216-474-0092 as we continue on. The question here, is it too early for the trade Amari conversation? More on that next on 92.3 The Fan.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.